listening to Web Talk Radio at webtalkguys.com for October 15th, 2006. My name is Rob Greenlee, and joined by Dana Greenlee again in here. We have a guest in the studio.
I know, a third person here. It's almost crowded, but it's great. I haven't seen it for a long time.
That's right. There's not very much elbow room in here. No. This is a big room. There's lots of room for T. David.
Hello.
Sitting over
it's
here.
It's T. David. Right, if you're me. A longtime listener, you've heard him on many a show in the past, but it's been probably, what, I don't know, 6-8 months.
Has it been that long?
Hi.
Long time.
Lots have happened to you, too. We'll get to that in a second, all the stuff that you've
and
been
doing. And he's a blogger at makeyougohmm.com, and that's H-M-M, if you wonder kind of how to spell hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's probably the number one question that you get about your domain, right?
Yeah, they ask how to spell, but you know, I've got multiple spellings, which I think I've mentioned before on the program. I got makes,
yeah.
Plural. I've got M-U-G-D, which is like make you with the letter U instead of Y-O-U.
You know, have so I three hums, too? Three M's?
Yes, I do have four M's. Four M's. I got because it was one of the regular publication news, mainstream news linked to it with an extra M. So I went out and got it real quick and redirected it. So, yeah.
Well, and also you've got your own podcast, the Cast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we
it's
do that
cool.
Weekly. Now it's bi-monthly. Just switched it to bi-monthly. You know, got to have enough posts to generate to do that. But
yeah, well, that's true. Well, we've got a show lined up that's got some interesting information about some trends that are going on.
Oh,
online.
One of the questions we'll ask ourselves and all of you is what exactly is Google's G Drive and what does it have to do with the platypus?
Yeah, that's true. And if you can't beat them, then buy them, I think is the motto that that Google used this past week when they acquired YouTube. The two guys that started YouTube are claiming independence. Do we think that's going to last?
Anti-online gambling bill. Oh, you might not be able to get me to shut up on this one, but blockchain, it's being bundled with the anti-terrorism bill signed by Bush.
And Google is testing video ad placements on website, and Dana's Boston Legal site was a recent test project for that, and she's going to share a little bit of her experience with that, as it might have some implications for many website owners out there to make a little money displaying video on their sites. And the dream of getting a 30-inch computer monitor, but can it actually help you get some work done? We're going to answer that question. Dana and I can be reached at rob@webtalkradio.com and dana@webtalkradio.com. And T. David, what's your email address? Can listeners get a hold of you?
You can just the best one to give out is tdavid@gmail.com. There we go.
Okay.
We'll stay with the Google thing.
We thank you for tuning into the show again. Or is this the first time you've heard the show, welcome. We're proud members of the techpodcast.com network. It's a great network of technology podcasts. So go check it out at techpodcast.com with an S. You can also subscribe to the show at iTunes, Odeo, and Melodeo, MobileCast. You can get it right on your phone.
Let's jump into some of the topics that people are waiting to hear. I mean, we kind of teased about the a platypus.
The product that we're talking about here is Google's G Drive, which is a client that's out there. It's been kind of leaked onto the internet. That's really, I think, the bigger picture of this thing is enabling the computer user to use Google as their C drive, essentially, or their D drive.
It's an online drive that you can store things
store
and share
stuff.
Documents, except it's not open to the public.
No. It's still kind of in test mode. It's being used by the Google employees.
Well, will it ever be available to the public?
Oh, I would think so. This is part of Google's, Google operating system strategy that there's been a lot of rumors about, of them looking at the internet as the operating system, the coming operating system that will exist on all of our computers.
For individuals or for businesses? I mean, are they going to – they want to sell it to businesses probably.
Well, it's going to be for everybody, but it's being targeted, you know, initially for – as a place to store pictures, a place to store office documents, as a place to store things. And if you look at the big picture of what's happening here, you know, Google's putting these hosted Word apps on the on their servers, you know, spreadsheets and calendaring. So you can kind of envision this Windows Office moving to the web, and I guess a natural extension of that would be to have a place to store it up in the cloud, essentially.
Now, what does
all your files?
Furry duck billed critter have to do with it?
I just think it's just something fun that they put in there.
It's just the icon for the G Drive.
Yeah, but I think, you know, it raises some interesting, you know, questions, and you guys certainly jump in on this, is whether or not people are going to trust Google to store their documents and personal information. And I have a tendency to think that they probably will. And if it makes it easier for their computing lives to not be concerned about, you know, hard drive failures and problems with their computer, that if all their information is stored up on the network and they can rely on Google to keep that private, that there is some advantages. I mean, I would – my own personal use, it would be kind of interesting to be able to store all my computer data on some external place, that it doesn't matter what kind of computer I'm using, that data is always available to me.
So if we can't use it yet, but can we actually look at it? Can we go to – they have an address here, platypus.corp.google.com. Yeah. And kind of see what it's like.
Does Platypus have a voice or anything? Does this creature speak,
or is he just
an icon for him, basically?
Yeah, it's just a fun little kind
not
of
like
local,
Bob.
It's not like Clippy. Yeah, I was going to say like icon, yeah. Clippy or something. Yeah. You know, his eyes move, and I'm protecting your data.
But
I want your data.
Yes, I want your data.
I am Platypus.
Well, this is more recognizable than Orchid.
Yeah, well, that's
who
true.
Or what?
That's true.
Platypus looks like he needs to get on the exercise bike or something. He's a little chubby.
Huh?
Heck, I've got an Enzy here. I am Platypus.
They're like half duck, half beaver, right? They've got that tail like a beaver.
Yeah.
Holding his hands up like, I don't know if I can protect your data. I just don't know. Really?
Is that what he's saying?
He's got his hands up in the air. I don't know what happened to your files. Where'd they go?
Maybe they're here, maybe not.
That is one thing I just love about, and I know it's not the same thing, but love about Gmail is because, you know, you send large files, you send your pictures. You know, there are always these, if you send a picture as an attachment, you can always have access to it at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere. So in a way, it's kind of like you could send it yourself and basically have it stored there. So
and supposedly how this application works, it automatically synchronizes your hard drive with the shared folder.
Oh, it's a backup, an automatic backup.
That's brilliant. The other side to this is that it is a backup, but it's also it could be used as a because from what it says in the description, and I have not used this application, but just going to your root folder on your computer, you actually have to log in to the Google's share program in order to even go to your local file system. So it basically logs you in, so anything you do within that local file system automatically gets transferred.
Mm. Now, this is 2007 they're thinking of doing this? I mean, is that what you heard too?
I haven't heard an exact date or anything like that, but that's the rumors that this is something that they're working on for next year.
And will this be another freebie like they're just so great about giving away?
I would imagine that this will be a freebie. I mean, if you start thinking about how much data storage you can get even with Gmail right now.
Yeah.
Two and three gigs.
Yeah, but most people's hard drives are 40 to 200 gigs.
Well, yeah, but if you really think about, you know, unless you're backing up applications, which they're not talking about backing up applications.
You're right. When you're just looking at document files.
If you're just looking at, you know, pictures and maybe some audio, maybe some video. I mean, it could use up some significant hard drive space.
I would think with the video, they'd try to get them to put that in YouTube or the Google Video.
I
would think so that they wouldn't have those files, right?
Right.
Or there's some redundancy, which is what they can do with Gmail, where you have one file that's already in one place. Why you have two copies of it? Oops. You have two copies of it.
Well, that – and you could basically enable that video file in your share to be available through YouTube or
– Yeah, that or, one checkbox or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
You know, select this file, make it available at YouTube or Google Video or whatever. I mean, it would be real easy to kind of synchronize those worlds. So it'll be interesting to see when this comes out, and I'm definitely excited.
Oh, the internet just spoils us, isn't it? I mean, everything is free and wonderful. Every service that comes along.
Well, if we had Mitch Radcliffe in here, he'd probably be all over this about the privacy.
He doesn't. Yeah, Google's going to glean all our personal information right off of that.
They're not going to make money on me.
Well, you just mentioned YouTube a second ago, and of course, last time you heard from us, we were saying, "Oh, it's rumors." And then no sooner had we finished recording than a minute later, the sale went through. Google bought YouTube.
Ching, ching.
Yeah.
There was two, 29, I think one's 27, one's 29.
Mm-hmm. Former PayPal guys.
Year old. Yep. Oh, really?
Former PayPal guys.
Yep. Yep. Are now instant multi-millionaires.
Yeah, I was going to say, they didn't so much as buy YouTube as they just basically opened the floodgates of gold upon those people. It's like a lot of money. How much?
Well, and what?
1.65.
About a month ago, both these guys were quoted in, I think it was Business Week or Fortune, saying that they weren't going to sell.
That's a strategy.
That just makes your price go up. Exactly. If you say that, everybody has a selling price at some level, I think.
Chad and Steve.
So in the current discussion with these guys is will YouTube stay independent from Google Video? I think it's an interesting question. Why would Google maintain two video properties when they can fold it all together?
How does YouTube even make money? Why buy something?
It's an eyball grab. It's all an eyball grab.
Google gets the eyeballs with their, with Gmail.
Yeah, but they're shuttling them away, aren't they? Normally, I mean, they're getting people searching for stuff and then shuttling them away. That's their model. In this case, they're getting people there to stay, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Or in some, I guess if you embed the YouTube in your site, you're kind of sending them away in that situation. But if you click any of those YouTube, you go right to the YouTube page. So it's eyeballs is what they did.
Well, it's also, I think, part of Google's bigger strategy with these hosted web applications. I mean, you think about the story we just talked about of users being able to upload video up to their storage and being able to enable playback on a very public forum. I mean, you can kind of see how all these things maybe can fit together and complement each other.
Well, they have 10-11 billion in the bank, so 1.65 billion is
one tenth of their money.
It's a stock. It's a stock deal. It's not even cash, right? It's pure stock. Mm. Yeah. So they could cash it in, but there's probably some vesting period or something there.
They're not buying their mother's houses yet.
Yeah, and there's a VC money that was – so the actual founders are only going to get about $400 million, which is only – we would all love to be having $400 million, but – in the scheme of things, if they don't sell the stock right away, they're not making the money right away.
Yeah, that's true.
And the stock goes down or something happens, these guys are losing millions. It's not really a high risk thing for them. And also, Google does something else that they haven't been able, they've been known as kind of the arrogant, we can build it, we're smart. Yeah. Here they've kind of squashed that criticism by being able to say, no, we went out and bought the number one video places out there. Look. We didn't have to invent everything on our own. So from that aspect, it is kind of disappointing, though. Even us, just a few minutes ago, were saying Google Video, YouTube, where are you going to put it? Confusion already created in where do these two, I don't know that they're going to leave it alone forever. I don't know if Google Video becomes YouTube or YouTube becomes Google Video, but I can't imagine both entities –
I can't see them existing independently of each other. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I think that what's going to happen is it's Google Video is going to go away and it's going to become YouTube. I think it's what's going to happen.
More recognizable and also less corporate because Google Video is tied in with the Google.
Google Videos, that's a boring name. It's
Google's like a cool name. It was until we got bored with it or something.
But it's like an offshoot of, like everybody does, it's like Yahoo Videos, a big deal,
I have to say that they gave the money to the wrong people. That site, YouTube, granted, I'm not a geek, so I don't know how to create these, the framework of being able to host videos. But the whole content is millions or thousands and thousands of, teenagers and everybody in front of their webcams doing interesting things and putting it on the
web.
So anyway, it's users. It's users that are – so they are the ones that should have gotten the money. YouTube is nothing without the people that supply the content. And
yeah, that's true.
I don't see the YouTube guys supplying any content.
No, that's true.
They just supplied the venue.
the enabling technology.
Well, maybe this will be a new way of getting talent, though, is going to places like YouTube, for movies and, a way of prospecting talent. Maybe that's how they can get paid. I mean, like that guy with the Numa Numa video. Did you see that? I had the Numa Numa video, some obscure song. He takes a video of him and all of a sudden he's got an agent and now he's, he's got a website and it's all a big, deal. I think part of the reason why a lot of that content is, I saw one on there. This guy's jumping off the top, trying to do like a jackass stunt, jumps off a second thing, with an escalator, lands on his face. I'm scarred. I haven't been able to get that vision out of my head now. I mean, it's people doing, just regular stuff because they're doing it, not because it's a, once the marketing seeps in and all that stuff, it changes the whole dynamic.
Well, and there are stars being made with YouTube right now. I mean, if you think of – I don't know if many in the audience have heard of this Chad Vader video series.
I've seen that.
It's the younger brother of Darth, who actually is the night manager of a grocery store.
And it's good. It's good stuff. Yeah.
But he got hired – the guy that plays that role on those videos got hired by Skywalker –
Ranch
to actually do voiceover work for the next Star Wars game.
Chad Vader.
Well, it's good stuff.
Oh, it's funny. It's hilarious. And actually, the most recent episode was featured on Good Morning America just this past week. I mean, it was launched on Good Morning America. So it made it to the big time.
So good platform to jump from.
Even though there was probably three times as many people watching it on YouTube that watched it on Good Morning America.
Speaking about using YouTube to get your message across, whatever it may be, maybe Bush should look into that because I don't think he's succeeding getting his message across in any other way. But that's only a segue to talk about how Bush and any politician really in the White House manages to get any legislation through. They piggyback it on other legislation, and that's our story.
Yeah,
with the anti-gambling legislation.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend the other day, and he didn't know. He's a big sports guy, and we were talking about it. I told him, I got some different sites that I go to online. I said, I don't do the real gambling because it's illegal. It's a felony in Washington State now to have any.
I was surprised to hear that.
But I have some sites that I go to, like PixPal, where it's free. You can go and get points is what you get. So you just have the, I guess it's an ego stroke thing, I guess, if you can get all the picks right. But there's no financial. But I was telling him it's a felony. He's like, what? I didn't know that. And I'm like, yeah, and now it's going to be a felony. And, it's the federal thing because Bush signed this in, and the fact that they have to jam this in under the terrorism thing just really it gets under my skin.
They're not related in any way, right?
I don't know how terror.
This is really common with bills back in Congress right now. They say it's one thing in the title of the bill, but they throw in all these
junk things.
other things into the bill. So these lawmakers are really caught in a tough position because the leader of Congress, and it's usually the Republicans, I hate to say it, they create these bills around anti-terrorism, and then they throw in all of this, all these fluff bills in with it that nobody knows about.
You're against anti-terrorism bills as if you vote against it. But no, you're not really against that. You're against the anti-gambling bill.
But this has been around for decades, right? This is not just a Bush thing. It's not just it's been around for a long time, right? Where
what needs to change is when you create a bill, the bill is the bill.
I know.
There's not like 100 other bills in there that's in
articles
fine
on the bill.
Print.
That's just crummy politics. It's crummy administration. It's crummy management of a country.
Well,
I
think if they'd have put it in as just the end, would it have had the same vote if they'd have just put the anti-gambling thing? I don't think it would have had the same vote. So they know that it's a it's the reason a lot of people get fed up with politics and they say I don't want to have anything to do with this because
it's
a crooked situation.
Yeah, it's all
the deck is stacked,
What else was in there? It was like, okay, and to also give a pay raise to all congressmen. It's probably snuck in there at the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was funding it? Indian casinos probably were funding it.
Oh, that's back true.
Back-end funding the deal.
Del Webb or, somebody with the, money in
somewhere
Vegas.
There was money backing this somehow.
Yep. And not to say that, online gambling is a bit of a problem for people. That it can be a big problem.
For some people, I would say that's probably true.
But then
and offline gambling, which is really when you think about it, the government has been getting into offline gambling for years. At least I know.
You mean getting into it like doing it?
kind of making a lot of money from it as well, whether it be lotteries or.
Yeah, that's the biggest.
I mean, the government's really kind of a hypocrite when it comes to gambling.
Big time. Yeah, lottery odds are terrible. Your chance of winning the lottery is ridiculous. I mean, you can go in any casino, any you know, terrestrial or online casino, even if it's being
fixed. And you're going to win.
I mean,
you're going to win more often than you win with the lottery.
I mean, it really begs the question, is that the reason there's anti-gambling legislation is because the government wants to get in that business. eventually change the law back to it's okay for them to have online gambling.
So now, is liquor controlled in other states besides Washington by the government? Because here it's a government-owned store that sells liquor, and is that the case? I mean, I'm just saying, I guess I'm spiraling out of control here by all the sins that the government must profit from.
Yeah.
And it's liquor.
Well, it's almost like, you know, our government's gambling. Getting into organized crime.
Well, I think,
think about it.
There, I think there's a bright side to this because, you know, did you see the Las Vegas
Bill
was
Soprano.
Exempt? From this, Las Vegas was exempt from this federal bill that there was an exemption
for Las Vegas.
Oh. Nevada passed a wireless gaming act, and it's allowed now to have wireless gaming. They're going to have these like pocket PC. As soon as I heard about this, I bought stock in IGT. IGT makes a lot of the slot machines, and they're heavily behind this wireless like a PDA type thing, so that you'll be able to go to eat and have this wireless, you know, like PDA and play slots on it or whatever. And it's legal in Nevada. They're trying it out in the Venetian in Las Vegas. So I think that there's some verbiage in there which made sure that they weren't going to make it illegal for this type of – which has already been made a law in Nevada. So I think
it's probably not online gambling. It's probably a closed network.
Have you been to Vegas or Reno lately? They have all the casinos, or most of the major ones, have where you can go check your Keno. Like they have the live Keno in the rooms with the numbers.
Yeah.
And you can go to the website and see it in real time being played on there. So technically you could buy the tickets downstairs, go up in your room and, you know, see and it's not fully interactive. You can't buy anything there, but it's very close to that next step to where you buy it through their website. And it's on the edge. And I really think that's part of what this is all about, that in 2 or 3 years, because it's just too much money that they're going to want to get that tax dollars. So within the next couple of years, we're going to see Nevada break out. They're going to be the first to legalize this. And then it's, you know, we're going to be talking about this like, oh, they'll be repealing that. There'll be something.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they just cannot stay out of the money, I mean, that is involved here. They got to get their hands. It just doesn't make sense.
And I want to know when porn will become, you know, governed and organized by the government instead.
Well, it's that may be a little bit longer, I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Mark Foley was working on that.
That is something, like, to go back, just to backtrack to our last story. You know, there's a lot of YouTube-type porn site, you know, that have bought, there's like PornoTube and some other ones that I wonder if Google goes and shuts all them down now because they've used that tube
name.
Part of the name.
From a trademark standpoint.
Yeah. I bet you we're going to see some of that will be some fallout. That happens.
Just like Apple going after Pod, you know, for companies that are using the three words
podcast,
or the three letters Pod.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, they were most more concerned about the Pod part of it, right? They didn't go after podcasts, right? Was it?
I don't know.
Because I heard conflicting stories. I heard they were going after podcasts,
but
and then
pod
I heard
show and
yeah,
names like that.
Yeah, I heard they were more concerned about the Pod part of it.
Correct.
Than the cast.
Well,
on the end.
Podcast, they actually can't trademark that.
Okay.
And they don't
somebody
have
tried
the rights
and,
because yeah. it's out there in the public. It's describing a generic business process.
So Leo Laporte's efforts to rename it Netcast it's too late. The horse is out of the barn.
It is. We can rename to Netcast as a more of a global term to describe this, where the podcast can maintain the reference to the iPod. You know,
why don't you want to just put your domain in it? See, like we got the cast for us. You guys could be the web talk guys cast.
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to just brand yourself to cast?
Yeah.
Forget the Pod part of it.
Brilliant idea, actually.
No, that
makes sense.
I totally agree with that. I think it's the same thing that we've done at Melodio with MobileCast.
Just keep the cast part.
Yeah, just keep the cast. Throw cast on the end of whatever
frankly,
it is.
Because frankly, Pod is meaningless anyway. Yeah. And so who needs it? Right?
That's right. Throw it out.
Who, by the way, was the first guy to suggest naming this phenomenon podcast? And it wasn't Apple, which should prove that it doesn't belong to them. And that was the guy we had on our show.
Yeah.
And in fact, he mentioned it in an article. Was that the same article that he mentioned our show?
the Guardian Unlimited.
A journalist in England.
In the UK. I'm trying to remember his...
I know, the Death of Distance
guy. I'm trying to remember his name again. I'm just drawing a blank on it right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it'll come to me sometime after we've stopped recording.
I know.
I get Invasion of the Body Snatchers type, you know, nightmares when I think of the word, you know, pod.
Pods, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Ooh, Invasion of the Pod People.
It has an H.G. Wells,
it does.
That type of...
Yeah.
It does. Hey, guys, I want to ask you a question. Could adding a 30-inch monitor to your computer system help you work faster, be more productive, make more money? What do you guys think?
According to some consultant that was hired by Apple who's selling a $2,000 30-inch.
Well, that's true. There's a little bit of a conflict of interest there on the part of Apple trying to sell their Apple Cinema display. But I think it's an interesting question. And I know T. David was telling me about how he's got three 19 or 17-inch monitors, and he thinks he gets a lot more productivity out of it. And my feeling, too, is that I try and squeeze as much Windows and sharing applications into my little 19-inch screen.
You're calling it little now. I mean, remember when we had 15-inch?
Well, yeah, that was really little. But
this is just an excuse for guys to get better gadgets, you know?
Bigger is better, right?
I know.
No. Well, I think we said right before we went on is if you have $2,000 and you're told you're only going to spend it on a better monitor experience, it would make more sense to me to buy four, LCD monitors, $300 a piece, buy a couple of graphics cards, and increase your RAM, up to 2 gigabytes of RAM, and then plug in like Synergy or something so that you can use all those spaces rather than have one gigantic beautiful 30-inch monitor. You've got four, and if one goes bad, you just buy another one for $300.
Oh, right.
The cinema goes down. You're down.
$2,000.
What's your productivity when your cinema goes down? They're beautiful screens.
Plus, if you have four 19-inch monitors, you've got more than 30 inches.
Exactly.
This is a silly question, but it's obviously – is it like the widescreen kind? I mean, it's longer than it is. It's not square, right?
Yeah.
And so,
the 16x9 type format.
How does that – what does that do with your typical wallpaper? Does it stretch it and look weird?
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Oh, it stretches everything.
Yeah. It makes it look kind of like stretched out is what it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that normal kind of TV.
It's great for watching DVDs that are widescreen format. I mean, it's dynamite. If you've seen an Apple Cinema display watching a widescreen DVD, that's beautiful picture.
Yeah.
Beautiful picture. But for working on the web, doing your basic web stuff or your computer stuff.
Yeah.
I still say this is a geek equivalent of, the research that shows that chocolate helps you live longer. It's an excuse to do something you already want to do and you have proof.
Well, companies have been doing that kind of research for years. I know when I worked at the Florida Department of Citrus, they had a whole research department with the state down there that just was trying to find the way citrus made you healthier. So they could use it in all the advertising and marketing.
Let me just explain some of these time tests that actually made them come up with the 40 to 50% more productivity, which I thought was a little much.
This article did say that there's a lot of people that question the conclusions of this and side more on the multiple monitor format. Yeah. So
I understand you guys.
I have to throw that in there.
You like to go – I didn't realize this. You guys both said you like to go have your applications in a more of a minimized, smaller size.
Yeah.
And I go full screen. So, but the thing is – and so that's why it would be easier to drag and drop. And that's where they say the savings comes is when you're dragging, dropping file folders and stuff in your Adobe Photoshop. But they said you would save 13 seconds between dragging one file from one screen to another if you had this 30-inch thing. But they say that normally, like on a 17-inch monitor, it would take you 30 seconds versus 15 seconds. 30 seconds to drag and drop a file on my 19-inch? I don't think so.
That's a long way to go across the screen. Right,
you're still moving the hand the same way. I mean, I suppose they're saying
30 seconds is a long time. You could get you could get Platypus. You could summon him and say, carry that file over there by hand. That's 30 seconds a long time.
It is. Yeah. It is. So, I think that there's some advantages. I know a lot of the guys at the office at Melonio have 2 and 3 monitors that they work with, and they're developers, and they often have to do like what I was saying before, where they share data between applications. So they have one application here that has their code work that they work on, and the other screen has the test display, so mm-hmm. they can work here and then hit refresh, and it'll show up over here, and so they can see what they work done. So I think there's advantages to that. There's no question. I'm going to ask for a second monitor at work, actually.
And that was just 30 seconds, by the way. I just looked at my watch. What you just got done saying was 30 seconds. There's no way it would take
that long to drag
from one end to the other. There's no way.
Plus, unbelievable. Plus, you just cut and paste, right?
Yeah.
That's much faster. Anyway. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us again, T. David. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Always enjoy.
Dana, it was always great.
Well, you know, it's easy to get me.
It is.
I guess I'm a cast whore.
And
I'm still waiting for that guitar, though. I'm still waiting for her to blast out on the guitar.
Oh, well, it's just hanging on the wall out by your desk.
Right outside our studio door is an electric guitar. T. David is a musician. You know, didn't you used to be in a band?
I was in a band in high school, but I'm scratchy now.
Now, what was the name of your band?
We were Sacred Fire. That was our.
Was it religious or?
No, we didn't. Not at all. No,
we were called the Rats.
We just Sacred Fire was our name. That was the band name, and I did most of the writing of the songs. And I'd usually record a lot of them. I did the bass, the drums, and I'd do a mock up singing. All I had with no voice, but I'd mock it up so for our singer then would come in and do his trademark screams and.
I was in a band in high school for a few weeks, and I played bass in a band called Rats.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never been
plural
in a band.
Plural Rats.
Yeah.
Did you cover any rat on plural? Or?
It was just a really punky kind of name, and that's what it was. It's punk.
Did you ever jump on me? So we had this thing where we were in the basement, right? And I'd have this guitar solo thing where I'd jump on the guy's pool table with my knees, you know? I'd just jump on
there. Wow, the move.
This was the move, the frantic move with this fog-like smoke coming out and... Oh. That was it. That was the highlight of my career as a rocker. But every time I walk in here, I see that guitar and I'm like, I'm having visions of you just rocking out on the show or something. So you got to bust loose. You got to bust loose one of these days.
I guess so. Well, I have to bring the guitar in here and you guys will have to do a little riff for us.
And look for it on YouTube next week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. We also want to thank our listeners for listening. To the show. We certainly appreciate you.
You hung in there with us. Thank you.
That's right, for our rant and banter.
And if you've been listening since 99, I want to hear from you because I'm impressed. We'll have to send you something because that's a long time to be listening.
Yeah, it is. That's probably all they do is just listen to us. They probably don't work or do anything, right? So, well, thanks, guys. And hope you come back and check out the show next week.
And in the meantime, go over and listen to the Hmcast over at makesyougohmm.com.
Or make you go hmm.
I got it wrong.
That's okay. They both work.
And we are working hard to get all of our sites back up and functioning again, actually. We're going to be taking our servers down here over this weekend and kind of rebuilding some of them. So
Stop beating up Rob on my blog. Right. Like, right. I don't want to. Yeah, I'm going to get nasty on that. He's my friend. I'm not going to let that happen. Enragement over the – where is that?
People have been wondering where our
– up or something.
People have been wondering where the show's been for the last month or so. But anyway, well, thanks, and we'll see you around the net.